Catriona Taggart ran down the corridor at full tilt, struggling to keep up with the guard leading the way. This was going to be a bad one, she could tell. She hadn't been able to get much sense out of the guard when he'd come to summon her, but from his pale face and stuttering voice, she knew it had to be something really nasty. It took a lot to upset a castle midnight guard. Taggart fought for breath as she ran, and wondered, not for the first time, why she hadn't resigned long ago. She'd never planned on being steward. Her father had been the previous steward, and he'd spent years training an apprentice. Then the Dark Horse had broken loose in the North Passage. Her father had been lamed, and the apprentice died. Catriona had started out helping her father, just as an excuse to keep an eye on him while his injuries healed. But somehow, she became his apprentice in spite of herself. Being steward of Castle Midnight was a hard job, even at the most peaceful of times. It killed her father when he was still in his early 50s. There was a bitter irony in that. All the terrors and creatures he faced, and he finally died at the dinner table of a heart attack. That was 7 years ago, and Taggart was only now beginning to realize that her father's early death had left her dangerously unprepared. She just wasn't experienced enough to handle this level of emergency. But with her father gone, there was no one else left for her to turn to. She had to be good enough, because there wasn't anyone else. Cord tried to help, bless his heart, but he wasn't what you'd call bright. If you couldn't hit it or stab it, he was mostly lost for an alternative. Taggart almost smiled, but then she realized the guard was leading her into the south wing. Up until now, the worst outbreaks of the Unreal had all been in the north. If it had established a foothold in the south as well, that could mean the beginning of the end. She couldn't fight on two fronts at once. Taggart silently cursed King Malcolm's murderer yet again for having dropped her in this mess. She'd been kept so busy since the king's death that she hadn't even been able to hunt down the murderer. Strictly speaking, that was security's province rather than hers, but she'd never trusted Brian de Grange, Gius or no Gius. And with the king's death, she was cut off from the stone, which meant she had to rely on her own high magic. Which meant she had no time for anything but the job she'd grown to hate. She ran on after the guard, her sword slapping painfully against her leg. Her breathing was growing harsh and ragged, but she was damned if she'd slow down before the guard did. She had an image to maintain. Besides, sometimes a few minutes difference in getting to the scene was all that stood between saving someone from the Unreal and standing helplessly by as they died horribly. She finally rounded a corner and stumbled to a halt as her guide leaned against the corridor wall and gasped for breath. He gestured weakly at the group of guards ahead.
Thank you.
She felt a little better as she saw the captain in charge was Matthew Doyle. She'd worked with him before. He knew his job. He didn't panic easily, and his men trusted him implicitly. He didn't bathe often enough, but you couldn't have everything. Doyle left his squad of worried-looking guards and stepped forward to greet her. He was a tall, wiry man in his late 30s, with a shock of dark curly hair and a perpetually thoughtful expression. His uniform was scruffy. He'd been on report for insubordination more times than any other guard in the castle, and he was resigned to never rising any higher in rank than captain. If he cared about that, Taggart had never seen evidence of it.
You're slowing down, Kate. Too much good living among the swells.
One of these days, we're going to have to organize a better system. There's got to be an easier way. Or at least one that doesn't involve so much running. I must have lost 10 pounds in the past few days.
Oh, is our steward out of shape?
Stick it, Doyle. I could outrun you any day of the week. It's good to see you, Matt. What's been happening here?
Doyle nodded at a closed door halfway down the corridor. His guards were keeping it under close observation while being very careful not to get too close to it.
That's the problem. We've been trying to open that door with everything from crowbars to curses, and the damn thing won't budge an inch. From the smell of it, something very nasty's going on behind it.
Taggart nodded and walked over to inspect the door. Doyle stayed close beside her. She stood before the door and sniffed the air cautiously. There was a sharp, acidic smell, like game meat that had been left to spoil too long. She looked closely at the door, being careful not to touch it, and then frowned as she saw that the door's edges had grown into its surroundings. The wood flowed seamlessly into the stonework as though they'd always been one piece. She glanced at Doyle.
All right. It's tricky enough, I'll grant you. But a good axe will open it fast enough. What's the emergency? What's so special about this door that I had to be called in?
This is Count Penhaligon's new chambers. He and his entire family were at home when the doorway became sealed. We haven't been able to get an answer out of any of them since.
Oh, great. The king's own cousin and next in line to be regent if anything happens to Count William.
Afraid so.
You understand our rush.
I take it you've sent for a sanctuary, Matt?
Sure, but most of them are busy. Laughing Boy's dealing with the sewers. Sweet Jenny is guarding the kitchens, and Mother Donna's still stuck in the musician's gallery.
Right.
She closed her eyes for a moment. She couldn't remember when she'd last felt this tired. When she opened her eyes again, the door was still sealed.
I think we can forget about Mother Donna. You can't hurry a mass exorcism. How about Grey Davy?
Oh, I sent word, but you know what he's like.
I do. He's good at his job.
When we can find him.
Quite. All right, Matt, it looks like we'll have to do this the hard way. Have your men draw their swords and then fall back in a semicircle facing the door. If anything gets past me, kill it. I don't care what it looks like. If it gets a chance, it'll kill you. So make sure you get it first. And Matt, if that smell is what I think it is, we can forget about the Penhaligans. If they're lucky, they died quickly. Now let's get on with it. Stay alert and we might manage to contain this yet.
All right, you heard it, Steward. Get in position.
She scowled unhappily at the unresponsive door. More and more, she didn't like the look of the sealed doorway. It looked too planned for her liking. In the past, the unreal had always seemed random and undisciplined. But of late, the outbreaks had seemed to be following a pattern, almost as though the unreal was somehow alive and aware. Taggart took a deep breath and focused her will, calling on the high magic she'd mastered under her father's patient teaching. She reached for the light within her, a roaring, blinding light that was her mind and her soul and so much more, and brought a little of it out into the world. The vivid white balefire crackled around her right hand, spitting and flaring, and slowly formed itself into a glowing sword. Taggart gripped the hilt firmly, feeling the familiar cold pulse of life beat against her palm and fingers. She was vaguely aware of Doyle and his men watching her silently. She didn't need to see their faces to know that some of them were afraid of her. She didn't blame them. Some of the things she could do frightened her, too. She swung her sword of light against the closed door. The balefire bit deep into the thick wood, cutting clean through and out again. A vile, choking smell poured from the jagged rent in the wood, and Taggart fell back a step in spite of herself. The guards screwed up their faces as the smell hit them, and one or two stirred unhappily, but they all stood their ground.
Damn it!
She widened the opening until she had a hole big enough to look through. She dismissed her sword, but kept the unfocused balefire crackling around her hand as she waited to see if anything was going to come flying or oozing out of the opening she'd made. Nothing did. Not a whisper of sound came from the room beyond the door. There was only the smell, thick and corrupt and nauseating. Taggart conjured up a small ball of light and sent it gliding through the jagged opening and into the room beyond. She dismissed her balefire and stepped cautiously forward to peer through the hole in the door. She was still careful not to touch the door and did her best to breathe only through her mouth. The room was dark, lit only by the glowing ball. The walls were a glistening, wet pink, and so was the low-domed ceiling. Slender purple veins traced disturbing patterns in the pink. The room was half full of a dark, viscous liquid that lapped sluggishly against the rosy walls. Bones floated on the surface. They might have been human once, but already they were losing shape and definition as the liquid dissolved them. Taggart stepped back from the door. The ball of light winked out, and darkness returned to the room.
They're dead. They're all dead.
She'd known it from the first moment she recognized the smell, but somehow she'd still hoped she might be wrong. She always hoped. It was all she had left to keep her sane.
What happened in there? And what the hell is that stench?
The room ate them. And I don't suppose the inside of your stomach smells any better. We're going to need a sanctuary. Putting this right would take all the high magic I have. Let the sanctuary take care of it.
Of course, my dear. That's what sanctuaries are for.
Grey Davy was a man of average height, but more than a little on the scrawny side. He always looked as though he could do with a good meal to put some meat on his bones. His face was drawn and gaunt and seemed to fall naturally into apologetic lines, as though he felt he should be apologizing for his very existence. His clothes were well cut, but old and faded. Taggart always had the feeling, on meeting Davy, that he was covered with cobwebs. He was supposed to be in his early 40s, but he looked old beyond his years, as though drained by having to struggle against a consistently unfriendly world. And yet he was still a sanctuary, and a power burned steadily beneath his gray exterior. Taggart felt better just for seeing him, and one by one, Doyle and his guards sighed and relaxed a little as a feeling of peace swept over them. The lights seemed to burn a little more brightly, and the shadows were just shadows again. Even the smell didn't seem as bad. In Castle Midnight, there were always a few places and a few people that remained unaffected by the unreal. Places of ease and comfort, people of good cheer and better company. Sanctuaries against the darkness of the world, where reality remained safe and constant. Grey Davy was a sanctuary. Taggart bowed respectfully to him.
Got a nasty one here, Davy. 4 dead that we know of, maybe more. See if you can put the rune right, at least.
I don't know what the world's coming to, Kate. I'd swear the whole damned castle's coming apart at the seams. And now 4 more dead. How many is that now?
Too many. And it'll get worse before it gets better.
It wouldn't surprise me. If I had any sense, I'd have left here years ago. I've always said this place was unstable. But whoever listens to us, we're just the poor sods who have to clean up the mess afterward. Still, I'm here now. Let's see what I can do. Get those guards out of the way, Kate. There's a dear. They're distracting me.
You heard the man, Doyle.
Stuart, are you sure?
If Grey Davy needs our help, we're in worse shape than we imagined.